Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Thank you, Jesus. It's great to see so many of you here tonight and really know that we are, well, we are very excited about the next season that we are coming into. Autumn always brings us into a kind of a fresh season, even, you know, with school terms, college terms, and autumn itself, temperature changes. And it's wonderful, actually, to come into a new season with something fresh from God. And I believe that God wants to do that in you tonight, to bring something new into your heart and life. From His Word and His Spirit. And we are, as a leadership, we've been spending probably about a week in that back room, well, not the whole week, but just a week praying, and some time in that room there, really seeking God and praying. And we are, God is preparing us to relaunch the vision of the church, because there are some many exciting things that are going to happen in the months ahead. And one of the most exciting things that's going to happen is tonight, is that we are going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But God has really given us a clear strategy for the next few months. And while we're so thrilled with what God is doing in terms of the projects and reaching people, the reality of the body of Christ working in the community and seeing people's lives transformed, I believe that we always need to be hearing what God is saying, so that everything we're doing is coming out of a fresh word from God and fresh things from God. And I believe that tonight is a very important platform, as was Sunday. Sunday was a real preparation, the message on Sunday, and also tonight. It's just preparing a platform for what God is going to bring to us, which is going to be very important in the next few weeks for all of us, because God is wanting us to see something in a fresh way and motivate us to serve Him in very, very powerful and exciting ways. So what we're doing tonight, the Lord has really called us to speak on, is really summed up in two words, and that is loving Jesus. And that's not a bad subject. And it's the first commandment that Jesus gave: love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And then the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. Love for people flows easily when you love God in the way we're intended to love God. And tonight, this is going to be a lot of training. There's going to be about 35, 40 minutes at the end of this evening where you are going to be proactive in your relationship with the Lord. Okay, so the teaching and the training will come, and then we will apply it. So when you're hearing this, don't switch off, because you will be applying it. I always know I listen a little bit better when I know I'm going to be asked to do something. And I believe it's actually always the case with the Lord. He wants us to hear it so that we know that we're to do it and put it into practice. And it's in three sections tonight. We're going to hear what God is saying to us tonight. God's going to bring His word to us and speak to each one of us. Secondly, we're going to see how to apply what He is saying. And third, put it into action. Very simple. Hear Him, see how to apply it personally, and then actually do it. Okay, so there's three things tonight. We're going to just unpack those three sections. And the first is to hear what the Spirit is saying to us tonight. And we're going to start in Psalm 1. Psalm 1. If you're there, we can go. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like, now I love this. This is what I think God wants to give us a picture of tonight. We see that the product of meditating on the word of the Lord, on the law of the Lord, is what we're about to see. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. And this is a wonderful picture. It's a wonderful, remember we were talking about looking into the frame so that we can see what God wants us to see. God wants us to see this in our personal lives. He wants you to see this in reality, that you will be like this tree planted and producing fruit, life, vibrant and strong, and never actually subject to external circumstances, because your roots are near the living water. Now we know that as believers, we are already in Christ. That is a position and a reality, that Christ is in us and we are in Christ. But Paul says this quite often in the New Testament. He prays that we will be rooted. That means something of you is actually drawing from Christ. When a plant has roots, it's literally taking nutrients and water into itself. And so God is wanting to show us tonight that we can be, first of all, like this tree, purely by putting our roots into Jesus. So many people in the world go around putting their roots into other people. They put their roots into their job. They put their roots into their circumstances. They even take in negativity constantly into their system. But Jesus says the blessed person, the one who is vibrant, fruit-bearing, prosperous. Don't you love that picture? Vibrant, fruit-bearing, and prosperous. The one who has its roots. Now, this is a stable condition where the roots aren't popping in and out all day long. So this is a static kind of stand planted, but the roots are living and actively drawing up the life and taking in that nutrient and that nourishment that the tree needs to stay vibrant. Now, I don't know if you could really seriously take a look at your life and say there are areas where I don't see fruit. There are areas where there's a bit of dry. And there are areas really where actually there's no vibrancy of his life revealed in me at the moment. Never fear, Jesus is here. Because the solution is found in what we've just read. And we're going to unpack this tonight in a real way and apply it tonight and put it into action tonight. But if our roots, and the roots are the hidden part, you see, it's the hidden relationship you have with Jesus that sustains your very life. The roots are always under the surface of the soil, unless you pull the plant up. And Jesus wants us to know that the hidden relationship you have with Jesus will produce either what we see in Psalm 1, or poverty, dryness, lack of fruit, and no vibrant, healthy life. And Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life to all, in all its fullness. But we see that there is a part a believer plays in living that life. The plant or the tree plays a part. The soil and the water and the nutrients aren't forcing themselves on the tree. But the tree is drawing. Okay, so there is a response in us to draw on the grace, to draw on the word, to draw on what God is offering us in Christ. Now we know we already have everything in Him. We already have everything we need for life and godliness. So in other words, currently you have the whole package. But you're not drawing on. And Jesus has given us this living relationship. We're not just living with having a deal with God. We're living with the person who is the one we go to draw on and receive everything we need in any situation we're facing. So I believe God wanted us to start with seeing this picture, this possibility, and that actually roots affect your whole life. Your roots, what your roots are in, and where you're drawing from. And if you are not drawing from Jesus, you inevitably will lose strength and dry up. Okay, so there is a personal kind of responsibility here. Back over to the New Testament, in fact, right to the end, to the book of Revelation. Are you warming up? Are you warm enough? Because I've got it on high and we can just turn it down a tiny bit before we boil. Revelation chapter 1. So what is God saying to us? He's saying to us, let's look at our roots. He's saying to us, what are we drawing our life from? Where are we drawing our life from? And in the book of Revelation, we read of John having an experience or an encounter with God that is actually useful for us today. When we read scripture, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for our instruction, our teaching, our correction. Everything we need is actually here for us. And so this is written for us tonight. Not because it happened when it happened, but because it is the living word of God to us. And John, you probably know, was on the island of Patmos, and we can read verse 9. John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and all the other churches. In verse 12, I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I'm the first and last. I'm the living one. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write down, therefore, what you've seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels and the seven of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. John has this encounter with Jesus. He hears a voice and he turns and sees someone like the Son of Man, like a Son of Man. So in other words, there was enough about this person that was human, but it was extraordinary what he saw about this person. So this is Jesus who was crucified, died, was buried and rose again, and now ascended, and has already been given the name that is above every name. And so this is not the same Jesus the disciples saw when they walked round Israel. This is the one we worship now. This is the living Savior. And this Jesus wants to communicate and speak to his church. And so he finds John with a heart to worship God. In the Lord's Day, he was in the Spirit. We are in Christ, but in this occasion we can see to be in the Spirit, John actually was probably worshiping God, focused on God, and because of that tuning in to heavenly things, to Jesus, God was able to open up his eyes and show him Jesus and speak to him about things that he wanted, important things. He wanted the church in every generation, including this, what he wanted to say to his church. And I would say it's quite sobering and awesome to think that this is the one who actually is here tonight. Because he stands in the midst of the churches. He's got the seven lampstands and the seven stars. And we are one of his lampstands, the local church. There are many different local churches, one church, but he is actually talking to several different churches in different locations. But the same Lord is here tonight. The one who has eyes like fire. The one whose face shines like the sun. The one who has a double-edged sword out of his mouth. And the one, the only one, who is capable and able and has the place to speak and tell us our condition. He is our Lord. He's our Savior. And he knows the condition of the church. He knows the condition of every church because he sees and then he speaks into it. He speaks into these different churches and he starts always with encouragement. Aren't you glad about that? I think this is really the best way to, you can model your ministry on Jesus. Jesus begins in every situation he's speaking into with encouragement. And then he says, actually, I see some stuff that needs altering, that needs changing. And he moves, he speaks so that there will be correction. Yes. Not in every area, but in the areas he sees needs correcting. And aren't you glad that the Lord never leaves you uncorrected? Otherwise, we would go well off track and end up in things and places that we should never go, in futile living, and actually like the tree we saw at the beginning, rootless, barren, and fruitless. So God actually wants to correct us, and I believe one of the most mature things that we can do as Christians is to receive correction. I think it's very dangerous, and I know it to be very dangerous in the life of anyone in the church who refuses to accept correction in any way, whether it's from somebody who's over them in the Lord or from directly the Word, who is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. And so to stay humble and open to correction really is the starting point to actually coming into the things that God has for us up ahead. The scripture that God really has laid on my heart for tonight is when Jesus speaks to the church at Ephesus. It's in chapter 2. And it's an interesting word because, let's just read that. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, walks amongst the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. So he sees it all, guys. Whoever sets up, takes down. Whoever prays before any meeting. Whoever comes and serves at Habitat or care for seniors or youth or children. He sees it. I know your deeds, your perseverance and hard work. So Jesus is actually commending them here. And this is a church who's working hard. He's not ignoring it, he sees it. Sometimes I believe we need to see the reality of we are actually living an open life before the Lord. He sees 24/7. And whatever labor you do in the Lord is never in vain. Thank you, Jesus. It's very encouraging. I find it encouraging anyway. Because there's a lot that people don't see that you do, but Jesus does. And if you're doing nothing, perhaps there should be one or two adjustments. It would be my advice, but let the Word test you. Not me tonight. Because we're all open before the Word of God tonight. Okay, I know your deeds, I know your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men. These are good guys. They're like, no, we're not going to allow unrighteousness and wickedness to become what we are finding acceptable amongst us. That's good, isn't it? That you've tested those who claim to be apostles and are not. And that's another ball game. And have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. What a great church. There's a lot of pluses about this church. And, you know, as a pastor and overseer, I am responsible to a certain extent for your care. And if I hear the Spirit say there's a lot of good going on, I get encouraged. Now, it's not all down to me, because actually one day you will stand before him and give an account. But I have to give an account for what God has called me to lead, which is double awe and responsibility. But I believe Jesus wants to encourage us tonight in the right way for what we are actually doing to serve God in our workplaces, to be a witness, to be serving the local church, to be in love and unity with those we're called to be with. There are many things that God wants to celebrate in this local church. But this was what God says I want to correct tonight. He wants to correct. Yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken your first love. That's quite sobering. Remember the height from which you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I'll come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I'll give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So up ahead, there's a good reward for overcomers. Now, Jesus says and makes this statement over this church, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Now you could probably immediately say, in what way have I forsaken? Don't I show you my love by what I do? And Jesus says, at one level, you do, because loving Jesus is, part of loving Jesus is obedience to do what he asks us to do. Our love for him is always shown in action. But Jesus is actually wanting to get to the root of these people's relationship with him, not what they do. What they do will always be the product of their relationship. It's not the other way around. What you do is going to come out of your love for Jesus. And he's saying you've forsaken your first love. So Jesus is speaking to his church as he is tonight. And he is actually expecting to be our first love. Jesus has that expectation of you. So he's saying, I'm expecting to be your number one. To be the one that you love. Now, if you say in your human relationships, your first love is your husband, your wife. Your first love might even be your job. Some people's first love is their job because that's what they devote their lives to. Because what you devote your life to is what you love. Behind that may be money. Your love for money may be reflected in the hours you work. So you may be serving another God. But Jesus is saying here, when you love something or someone, you give that someone your best time. You actually can't wait for the next moment to spend time doing or spend time with that person. Am I speaking to people who have experienced this in life? Yes. I mean, even I remember being in love once or twice. And it was like, thoughts all the time were, oh, I can't get them off my mind. Oh, I'm supposed to be working, but I can't get them off my mind. And, you know, there's all this kind of planning. When can I see them? When can I pick them up? Well, I need to call them. I need to speak to them. I need to be in their company. So when you love someone, the outworking of that is relationship. Okay? And Jesus is saying, actually, and if it's not, it needs correcting. He was just laughing, so I thought he was responding to the word. But it is this relationship that produces the things we do. And Jesus says, I want you to come back to this place. Repent means to return to your first love. This word has had to search my heart too. And I spent a couple of hours, I got up early this morning, a couple of hours, just in this one scripture. And you know, the word needs to light our hearts, show us what needs putting right, not with condemnation, but with a desire in Jesus for fellowship with you, and to be in a place where you can receive everything you need for your future, for your day, for your relationships. Your source must be Jesus. Otherwise, it will inevitably go wrong. And so God loves us so much, he knows the answer is this, but also he loves us so much, he wants us with him. I find it inspiring that God wants me with him. He doesn't just want to save me because I was a wretched sinner, but he actually wants me to be with him. And so this first love, God is saying, it's a requirement I have of you. And he's actually speaking it to the whole church. And I believe he's speaking it to Kingdom Faith Southwest, including those who aren't here. That in some way we have forsaken. Because he wouldn't be saying it if it wasn't happening. Is that all right? Anybody else being honest, or is it just me and a few? We have forsaken, in some way, our first love. Do we remember a time when we sang more songs to Jesus? Or even made up songs? Just singing on our own to the Lord and just making up a new song. Not for anybody else to publish it or for the worship team to take it, but for me to sing a new song to the Lord. When was the last time we just ran into his presence and said, fantastic, it's great to be here. When was the last time we just sat down and said, oh, being with you is the best thing to do in my life? Because that is first love. Being with you is the best thing I could be doing with my time. Because love is reflected. Jesus says, don't go back to what you feel. He's not talking about feelings here. Repent and return to the things you used to do. Sing, praise, pray, sit and listen and just be with Jesus. Repent, he says. Go back. And he says, actually, everything will become very dark if you don't. The lampstand is the revelation, the light. Lampstands were often filled with oil, which is the anointing, which was giving light in the sanctuary, giving light to the body. Jesus is our light. And the church is to be the light of the world. But how awful it is when our light dims and we don't actually see in the way God has asked, is going to reveal to us if we do come back to the place of love. He says, I'm going to remove the light if... Now this to me is quite a strong word. And so there are consequences for us not returning to our first love. Now, I'm trusting tonight this isn't coming over in a kind of condemning way. I believe it's an encouraging way. I believe I'm, by the Spirit, presenting you a vision of really what God wants from your relationship with Him. Number one place, number one person, number one in your time, even if you say, well, how can I possibly find more time? How could you possibly not for somebody you love the most? It's amazing how people can find time to do the things they want to do. It's amazing how they can reorganize everything for a football game on TV. It's amazing how we can change everything because we're going to see a friend we haven't seen for ages. But time alone with God... don't know if I could fit it in. Really squashed. 10 minutes on the way to work. Wouldn't it be an unusual marriage if all you did was talk to your wife when you dropped the kids off at work, at school? And in that 10 minutes, the husband and wife would talk with the noise of the children in the background, because that's often what we do. When we pray in the car, we've got the noise of Darlene. Because we need buffering. And imagine, you know, that's the only time you get with your husband, your wife. You would say it wouldn't be much of a relationship. Would you agree? And we are distracted from so many things. I would have been distracted if I'd stayed at home. I've still got workmen in the house and trying to sort out an issue and a problem. And because I knew that I needed to put some time in for tonight, I thought, well, I'll tell you what, I like it in here now. I'll come in here. I'll stay in the back room. And, you know, I forgot. I parked at Pastor Andrew and David's and walked through here. And I left my phone in my car by mistake. Now, I don't normally do that. But I got in here and I stood here and I thought, oh, not contactable. Can't talk to anybody. Ooh. And then I went, just you and me, Jesus. And it was absolutely liberating to be without a mobile phone. And I never realized how much that phone, even when I'm praying, did I get a text? Imagine, husband and wife, on a date. Did I get a text? No, I'm sorry, darling, what did you say? Oh, hang on, got caught. What did I say? Excuse me. The priority of that relationship has gone to a telephone. And to anybody who wants to make demands on you. I thought, I'm going to do this more often. This is the way forward, church. Actually turn your phone off. Not on silent, because you can still see the light or the vibration or a and you're like, ooh. And then if you're anything like me, you wonder who it was. And all the time you're it's in here, isn't it? It's a thought, I wonder who that was. Especially, I think it's my character as well. What's happened? Oh good, they're all right. Sorry Lord, where were we? And actually, off. Because if it's your first love, it's your whole devotion. Your heart is fully devoted to Him. Okay, I think we got the point. Just finish with this. Duty is not how we're to live our Christian life. Love is. Love produces obedience, but duty means it becomes empty of a relational joy that God has called you to live. There's a guy who came into this pastor's office and said, I am fed up with serving and ministry. Now, ministry is serving. And he was practically responsible for chairs and different things in the church. Had to stay late and arrive early. And he said, I'm just tired of it. I want out. The pastor, listen to this, didn't say, I am so sorry you're having such a hard time. I understand. Life does get tiring sometimes. Just let's pull you out of everything. He did not say that. He said, how's your morning devotions? And the guy went, I just want out of ministry. No, how is your time with God? Don't do it much anymore. Right? For 2 weeks, I want you to spend an hour on your own with God. Then come and tell me whether you want to be out of ministry or not. 2 weeks later, he's stacking the chairs. Pastor comes in. You still wanting to give up? He said, why would I? Ministry's my life. Actually, he meant Jesus is my life. And ministry is what I want to do, because when I'm close to Him, serving is a joy. That makes all the difference in the world to everything you are and do. And it's having roots in Jesus Christ. So the question is, tonight, your highest priority is relationship with Jesus. Is Jesus your first love? And does He have number one place? And that's for you to answer to the Lord right now. It's going to take some time to repent where necessary and to really say, Lord, I want to see a fresh devotion in my life. Help me, Holy Spirit. But I want to put you as my number one person and priority. And I trust you to give me something fresh in my relationship. Repentance always leads to the activity of the Holy Spirit, especially if we're believing. So as soon as we repent, it's like the Holy Spirit starts to work and you'll see something fresh in your relationship with God. You may have been faithfully walking with God for years, but Jesus still expects to be your number one and your first, his first love. You may be a new believer and maybe never really have come to this place of absolute, Jesus, I'm here to love you. Number one, it's my priority. And so let's just spend some time and really take this. The Lord is here. He sees what you do. But he also has this one word of loving correction that can bring you back to a place of a vibrant relationship with him. So let's just take some time and reply to Jesus. Where really he has your attention, he has your thoughts, and he has your devotion. I just thank him that he has never left you. He said, never will I leave you or forsake you. We just say, I'm coming back, Lord, to that place of intimacy, of fellowship with you. I was saying he's going to take people on, all of us here he wants to take, an uncharted territory. New places in your revelation of him. New depths of love for Jesus. New joy in your times with him. That Jesus wants to be your all in all. Just thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your heart for us. That you want us in this place with you. Lord, we acknowledge that you are the Son of God amongst us, that you are this awesome Lord. We don't want to allow our lampstand to be moved, but we want to come back to a place of radical devotion to you, Jesus, of loving you above all others, above all things. Let time commitments to others be second and third, but you take number one place in our diaries, in our days, and in our hearts. Let it be, Jesus, that we will be a people known who love you and love you with all of our heart. Lord, let us not escape really the challenge of this word tonight. But let us rise to the challenge and say, Lord, yes, let it be that we correct and make the changes that bring joy and pleasure to your heart tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace, your forgiveness. For those who haven't been spending time with you, thank you, Lord, that you forgive. But you look at what we are going to do. And so, Lord, I pray for absolute vows and decisions made today that will change their future. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you feel nothing, that's not the issue. There's nothing written about feelings in here. It's all about come back to doing, repent. But also, I believe that as we set our hearts to this, the will of God in this, that actually feelings and experiences will come. I believe that because Jesus is a real person. And when you're with a real person, you know you've been with them. Especially if they're full of joy, full of love, full of grace, full of mercy, full of power. Thank you, Jesus. How can we not be changed? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. moving swiftly on, how can we apply this tonight to come back to our first love? Well, there are many aspects we could go into, but just briefly, and this is where we're going to come into the practical very quickly. But to be with Jesus means to be with his word, inspired by the Holy Spirit who already lives in you. Jesus is the word. The word is God. And the word is living. And so I just want to talk about how we relate to Jesus, the word of God, tonight. Because in the last days, scripture says there are many false prophets and false Christs that will come and even lead the elect astray and deceive the elect. I'm sad to say that I believe someone who has been with us has been deceived by false prophecy and isn't here with us anymore. And I believe we need to be on our guard against false prophecy and deception. Just as I had that word on Sunday and heard this false teaching, we need to know truth so we can discern error. We don't need to study error. We need to study truth. And then we can see where false is. And we are in the last days. We are coming towards the last days. There will be many who will fall away, scripture says. And I pray for you that you won't. But I am not the only one responsible. You see, you are actually responsible for your relationship with God. And your relationship with the Word is the key to keep you in truth and strength and power all the days of your life. Thank you, Jesus. And so, the Word of God. Only through constant exposure to the word can you recognize the voice of the wolf. The wolf wants to lead you astray. Jesus, the good shepherd, says, they will recognize my voice. My own know me and they recognize my voice. But recognition comes from constantly hearing. Okay, so we need to constantly be hearing and being exposed to the Word of God so that we can separate also what we think and what God is saying. In my prayer life, I need to exalt the Word above my thinking and reasoning. I need to learn to exalt the Word above my circumstances. Because the Word is able to change my circumstances. But also the word is God. So how can I bring God down? And limit God by my actual dishonor of the word. I believe we need to get back to an absolute honor of God's word. That we become people who honor the word of God above all. The value of this Bible never changes because it is the word of God. But your value of it can. It always is eternal. It always is living. But when you value it and you place a higher value on the word in your relationship with God, then you will begin to see the treasure of that word transforming you. Thank you, Jesus. So the Bible, the word is God breathed. This is the scriptures. God breathed. Can I just say here, with the first point, God breathed. All scripture is God breathed. So in other words, carries the spirit, carries the life of God. And so actually has power to bring God's life to you. Awesome. Now, many people use daily devotions and study books. I'm not against study books, but Sometimes we are hearing somebody else's analysis of the word. And I believe strongly that you and the Bible should spend time together without Oswald. Or what is it? UCB. I know there are scriptures in there, but it's definitely not enough if you want to grow strong in the Lord. A little bit is not going to get you into the places God has planned for you. Come on, let's grow up. Let's grow up. All scripture. God wants you to know this book. He wants you to study it. He wants you to read it. He wants you to plan to read it. Okay, so don't take somebody else's analysis. Get the word in you. Read the word. Read whole chapters. Read a book. Read the Gospels. Read Genesis. Read the Old Testament. Read the word. Okay? Not what somebody says about it. Because the word is God breathed. I'm not... Some of you are looking at me like, oh no, I find it really easy. I just look at the day and I think, oh yes, October the 7th, what does the Lord say to me? Good. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's what he thinks. Right, off to work. We got to go a little bit further than that, guys. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? So the word is God breathed. It is, next please, God teaching you. The word needs to be your teacher, your primary teacher. Okay, next please. Wisdom for all life. If you want to be wise, get filled with the word. Powerful, living, active, healing, envisioning, restoring, washing, pruning, plus a lot more, but I just had a few thoughts. But that's, look at that. Your relationship with the word means power, life, it's living, bring healing, bring vision, it will restore your soul, it will restore your body, it will restore your spirit, it will feed your whole life, it will wash you. And you sometimes need a darn good wash. And prune, God's way of pruning is to take his word and go clip, clip. Like the word we've just heard, it went clip. It was pruning. Because God wants to produce more fruit. Thank you, Jesus. And that's the vision Jesus has for his word, is more fruit in your life. It's seed that produces a harvest. And it lives forever and is infallible. It's above reason. It's above everything. The word is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word is God. All things were made by Him and through Him. You want to make some stuff in your life? It'll be made by the Word. Creative ability in the Word of God. Something you're lacking, the Word can create it. Has power to create. So our relationship with Jesus, when we're saying we're coming back to do the things, we need to talk about time with the Word, time in the Word. There's no substitute for personal feeding on the Word of God. Now, if you daily feed on the Word, like you daily eat food naturally, you are strong and sustained in life. But if you are a believer that comes on a Sunday, forgot where you put your Bible all week, run out the house, arrive on a Sunday and saying, what's the preacher preaching on today? It's like somebody who doesn't eat all week and just comes for a meal on a Sunday. You will be weak and you will be feeble. And you will lack vision, strength, stamina. And you are called to self-feed. pastor I just heard of, a guy came to him and said, I want to leave this church. I'm not being fed. Not this church. No. But they could do it. It's easy. People say the most incredible things. But went to this very, very wonderful church and said to the pastor, you know, I want to leave. I'm not being fed. And he used this example. He said, if my wife saw me emaciated, losing weight, and I'd say, well, I'm just not being fed, she'd say, well, go and get something to eat then. And he said to this guy, go and eat something then. Yeah. If you're not being fed, get eating. Yeah. Self-feed. And therefore, God has made it your responsibility to feed on the word every day. Amen. Jeremiah said, I ate your words and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You want a new joy and a new rejoicing in your life? Feed on, take in the word of God, and you will be different. You know, as pastors, we're anointed to see things. And we know, we can see those who are daily hearing God and have fresh bread. We can see it. We can see those who are slightly missing out. And we can see those who only come on a Sunday occasionally and say, because you know, you get so not used to eating that you can't even receive it on a Sunday sometimes. That is a very dangerous place. Naturally, when somebody doesn't want to eat, it becomes very dangerous. If you don't want to eat the word, warning signs. Your love for the word is actually to be primary, because it is a love for Jesus. It's good. Thank you, Jesus. So, there's no substitute for feeding daily on the word. Now, what are we going to do? And how are we going to apply what God is saying? You may already have stuff that you do in your personal time with the Lord, but God wants to increase it, change it, challenge it. And tonight, we're about to move into the practical action plot time, okay? First of all, what are we going to do tonight? To put into action tonight, read the word, asking the Spirit to help you see, hear, and understand. Now, remember, when I read the Bible, God is talking and I'm listening. I'm not having a discussion with Him. He's talking to me. And I'm listening. Do you know what listening is? It means essentially you've got to be quiet and take in what God is speaking to you. So read the word, or as Joshua, meditating on the word. Sometimes when you're reading a scripture, the Holy Spirit will highlight a particular verse and you'll go over and over again because God is wanting you to meditate so that you can be prosperous in all that you do from that word. Okay, secondly, write down what God is saying to you and write down any fresh revelation of Jesus. I think it's wonderful to not only respond by writing what God is saying to you, but also to say, Lord, I see your heart for people in this. I see that you really are Lord of the nations while I read this scripture. So fresh revelation of Jesus, because we're here to love Jesus, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Okay, so write down what God is saying to you. Then write down how you're going to apply it and act on it. A lot of Christians have revelation, but they never do anything with it. Okay, for example, tonight, I believe everybody in this room has had a revelation that actually we've forsaken our first love and we need to get back to doing the things that actually show. But whoever does this will live a blessed life. See, so it's actually, how are we going to apply what we've heard? So always need to write down the application of what we need to do. So if I'm reading on sowing financially, if I'm reading on giving, if I'm not giving, I'm actually disobeying at one level. Because the scriptures has told me that God, Jesus has actually spoken to me about giving. Then I need to apply it. Lord, who do you want me to give to? Not, oh, isn't that interesting? Jesus wants us to give. The deception is waiting for you to enter by being inactive. James said you're deceived if you hear and don't do. Okay, so, first of all, read it. Write down what God is saying. Write down any fresh revelation of Jesus. Then write down how you're going to apply it and act on it. Then, four is share it with somebody else. It's really important, you know, that you speak about the things that God is showing you. And become somebody who actually is talking about Jesus. You know, you talk about the one you love. You could be, you know, found very boring if you're freshly in love with somebody and all we get is how much you love them. But talking about Jesus is never boring. But if you don't talk about him, I believe it's time to get back into a place where we've got a lot to say about him. In our homes, in our marriages, with our children, and the people we work with, they are hearing all the time. Something of what we've received is coming out. God said to Jeremiah that he would be his spokesman if he separated the vial from the precious. The precious is the word. The vile is what you think, a man's word, and what the devil is doing. And if we become men and women of the word, separating what is good and bad through the word, God says, you'll be my spokesperson, and I'll use you to speak for me. What an honor and a privilege. But this is really a process. Now, I know it looks very practical, but I believe time with God can be, but in that time is life. If we apply our hearts and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Okay. Now, tonight I've got a particular scripture that speaks about Jesus, about us, and about how to apply what he is saying. So I'm just going to give you a scripture to work on tonight. So that for 10 minutes, you are going to read the word. Not write, not pray, but listen to what God is saying to you. Is that all right? So you won't be writing anything. You need to put down your pens and just take the word. Is that all right? And this, I want to example this so that you can apply this in your own time with the Lord. Is that okay? So no pens, just read the word. Then, when the buzzer goes, we haven't got what you did last night, have we? No. When the time's up, you then take up your pen and write down what God has said to you and what fresh thing you've seen about the Lord. Then, when the buzzer goes, you're going to write down how you're going to apply it. Okay, so just let me be in charge of the time. Is that all right? So that you can just relax and just read. And then I'll tell you when to start writing down what he's saying to you. Then, how you're going to apply it. And then into sharing what you have. And please don't leave the room. Because God is wanting you to speak and be his spokesperson tonight so somebody else can receive what you've got. This is the whole point, is that you become a spokesperson out of revelation of what God has said. Okay? So, the scriptures are Colossians 1, 6 to 8. Actually, the 15 to 23 comes... No, San, that was wrong. Colossians 1, 15 to 23... And 2:6-8. Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. God is going to talk to you. and you're going to listen. Colossians 1, 15 to 23 and 2. You see, that reference is wrong, Sam. And 2, verse 6 to 8. Can you write that down? Or no, don't, because you're not supposed to. You got that? Colossians 1, 15 to 23, chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. Everybody there? Okay. Well, I believe it's been a real privilege to be here tonight and really experience the Word, experience Jesus, to come back to an understanding of what His will is for us in relationship with Him. Just as practically, as a suggestion, you can take 10 minutes of each of those things in your personal time. You can take 20 of being in the Word, writing it down, applying it. And it can become something that you will help you to grow deeper into your relationship with the Lord and get your roots going further down. We are all here to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him be your highest pursuit, your greatest goal. I believe we must finish with worship. So let's stand together and just worship Jesus.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.